everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Young Lion Cast. I am your host, Rob Goodin. I'm joined, as ever, by the enigmatic Chris O'Brien. How are you, Chris?
I'm all right. I'm living full on suck it and see and drinking some dandelion and burdock.
Wow. I mean, your drink of choice has gone downhill since we've been doing the podcast. I mean, you were starting necking straight vodka, which is hardcore as fuck. What happened?
Oh, well, my friend just go, oh, we're worried about your drinking habits. You've drank every day this month. You should probably stop drinking. So I stopped drinking just so they'd shut up. And
fair play.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Oh, it's nice to see that your friends care about your health, though.
Yeah, I'd say friends and family, but we both know that's a fucking lie.
I love the fact that most people are looking at Stoptober, so where they don't drink a single drop of alcohol on any day in October. And what you did was you said, fuck it, and I'm going to do the complete opposite.
Yeah, and people talking about No Not November, you can be sure as fuck I'm ignoring that.
I have a girlfriend, I'm probably going to be observing that. So, you know, let's...
You'd be doing that anyway, don't pretend it's part of this big internet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are a bit late this week. Unfortunately, I had to take a school trip to London, and I love London. It's a great city, but fucking hell, taking children on the tube, good grief. Just the stress levels that you go through as a teacher is just it's astronomical.
There's two things you don't want to be like, Rob, is the Young Lion podcast and your period. So,
but we are here. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, and we have got quite a lot to talk about. We're going to start just by looking at the World Tag League announcement. And in a way, I suppose it was good that we did delay the show because it did mean that the World Tag League teams were announced.
Thank God, we can talk about fucking Tag League. Thank Christ. There's one thing I love talking about. It's fucking Tag League. Fuck's sake.
Chris is really excited, ladies and gentlemen. Really enjoys Tag League. Favourite part of the New Japan year. We're then going to go through the Power Struggle show that happened on Sunday, the 3rd of November, giving our thoughts and our ratings regarding that show. And then we'll end by looking at the two New Japan shows, New Japan Showdown shows from Los Angeles, which will take place tomorrow. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, on Saturday and on Monday, I believe. Yes. So Saturday and Monday, we'll go through those and we'll just basically give our very, very quick thoughts. Before we do that, though, Chris, I've just got a couple of bits of news. So it was announced yesterday on a couple of sites that, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Kenny Omega was stopped going into Japan for his return to DDT. Now, this apparently wasn't an issue. After a while, he was let back in and nothing was said. But this has led to an absolutely fantastic volley of rumours that New Japan are apparently operating the borders of Japan and are stopping Kenny Omega in some bizarre sort of perverse justice thing. Because he left them, apparently they're making sure he can't get into the country. I mean, that's phenomenal.
And to be fair, there's basically not a, be it sheep fighting or wrestling company in Japan that's not connected to the Yakuza. But like, I very much doubt that. Like, we're talking about a company that has almost threatened to beat Brock Lesnar up in the airport. But Kenny Omega has basically no affiliation with New Japan right now. So it's just... Like, Marks will believe anything, but, like, when WWE is actually doing PR for a corrupt government, will turn the other cheek. I don't get Marks. I don't get them at all, Rob.
I love just this last bit where it says, in addition, the Wrestling Observer newsletter reported that something happened where there was an attempt to get Omega banned from going to Japan for 10 years. I mean, fucking hell. Talk about harbouring a grudge.
Yeah. Oh, wait, did you see the match he had in DDT? It was quite fun. He and Ryu make a decent tag team, but it just makes me miss the Golden Lovers. Seriously, that breakup hit me hard, Rob. It hit me harder than my last actual breakup.
I'm sure your ex-girlfriend is gutted.
Now, which is mad, but anyway, go on.
I mean, it's absolute bullshit, isn't it? It's absolute bollocks, but it is fun to speculate. I wanted to throw that in at the start, just to basically for a bit of a laugh. This next bit of news, Chris, and this isn't confirmed. Basically, I listen to a podcast called Super J-Cast, at Super J-Cast. They're amazing.
I haven't listened to their podcast, but I do love their Twitter. They're very good with information.
They are very, very good for information. Their podcast is absolutely amazing. They are basically the premier New Japan podcast, apart from us, obviously.
Obviously.
But yeah, go and check them out. They are absolutely incredible. Joel and Damon on the Super J-Cast. But they have sort of... There have been rumblings that they've reported that there is going to be a very special match at Wrestle Kingdom 14 on one of the nights. Chris, have you heard about this special match?
I'm going to assume it's a Stardom thing, because he did briefly mention it before.
I did. Apparently, with Bushiroad having purchased Stardom now, apparently they are going to put a Stardom match, just the one, a Stardom match on one of the nights of Wrestle Kingdom 14. Okay, two questions, Chris, before you go into this, because you are... Of the three of us, you are sort of the person to go to when it comes to Joshi in general.
I'm the only person who watches Stardom, yes.
Yeah, exactly. A, how do you feel about this? And B, what do you think we're going to see? Are we going to see a title match? Are we going to see a tag match? Are we going to see an exhibition six-woman tag match? What are you expecting to see?
To be honest, I'm expecting it to be a lot like how Ring of Honor or Rep Pro have representation on the card, since just through the Bushiroad affiliation, they're kind of in partnership. I just expect to see their main title on the line, which would be the artist of... No, it'll be... I keep getting confused because we don't actually have commentary. It's either the World of Stardom or the Artist of Stardom Championship. The red belt, because they normally just go by the belt colour, which really doesn't help for fucking learning things. But I'm expecting to see the red belt online. And then if that's the case, it would explain why Mayu won it, because she's like not their ace, but like their big star. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like Mayu versus Momo, because like Momo's sort of their ace. It's sort of like their equivalent of Kaede Tanahashi without them having that massive rivalry. So Okagetsu, but also she hangs people, so maybe not good for New Japan.
No, maybe not the right vibe you're trying to send out New Japan.
Because I would explain why we took it off B, because they seem to be high on B, but like she's really good, but like she can't necessarily keep up with like Mayu or Arisa or just a lot of people. They're very polished over in Stardom.
You are a big Arisa fan.
She's fucking right. She's fucking great. All right, she is the Kota Ibushi of Stardom. She throws amazing kicks, and like literally all her defenses, not against shitty imports, have been really good. Like Hazuki match, Tam Nakano, Jungle Kiona. I haven't seen a Jamie Hayter match, but I've seen that's good because Jamie Hayter's really good. I'm all in on her. She's probably my favorite in Stardom. She's my favorite worker in Stardom. My actual favorite in Stardom is Natsu Sumori, because she's like Toriyana but a sex pervert. It's amazing.
I think New Japan have missed a trick by not making Toriyana a sex pervert. I think he's got that slimy gimmick.
You say that, but I can't imagine Toriyano as a sexual being. Like, I imagine he just sort of like has a Ken doll instead of a penis. like full on action man.
Oh god, I don't want to think about Toriyano down there. Come on.
You could subscribe to my theory, there's nothing to think about, so.
That is true. That is true. Anyway, I just wanted to gauge your feelings on that, because again, it has been announced.
Analysis. People come to this podcast for
journalistic accuracy. Clearly not. Obviously, World Tag League has been announced. Now, Chris, we're going to try and get through this whole announcement without you moaning, okay? And then I'll let you loose to moan as much as you want at the end. Sound fair?
Fine.
So, obviously, World Tag League is coming up. It starts on the 16th of November, and we have the final on December the 8th in Hiroshima. Now, they did announce the teams, and I'll go through those in a moment. Unfortunately, Chris, and I will let you loose a little bit here at the moment, let me announce the teams, and then you can get all your ranting out in one go. Not only is the World Tag League in one big block, like it was last year, despite protestations from the fans, they've also added two more teams, so it's longer as well. So, bully, bully for us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the official lineups for the World Tag League 2019. So the teams we have are the current champions, the current IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, the Gorillas of Destiny, Finjuice, Yano and Colt Cabana, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi, Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki, Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima, Togi Makabe and Tomoaki Honma, Evil and Sonata, Shingo Takagi and El Terrible, Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale, Kenta and Yujiro Takahashi, Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi, Hiroki Goto and Carl Fredericks, Manabu Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata, Toa Hanare and Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jeff Cobb and Mikey Nichols. Okay, so, Chris, I know absolutely none of the teams jump off the page to you, and that is, unfortunately, an inherent problem that New Japan has with the way they book things. Unfortunately, their tag team division sort of falls by the wayside and they just throw random mid-carders together to make teams. Of those teams that I've announced, are there any there that you think, interesting partnership, I look forward to looking at them?
No. I've never seen such a stale lineup for a New Japan tournament in my fucking whole time watching it since Wrestle Kingdom 9. Jesus fucking Christ. The Young Lion Cup was fucking a more exciting prospect than this job.
Okay, I agree with you. Let's have a look at some of the teams then.
I've ever counted only five of them are like proper, like established tag teams.
You look at the proper official, I say official, the established tag teams, like you say, you've got the Gorillas of Destiny, who are obviously the champions. You've got Tenkoji. You've got GBH. You've got Evil and Sonata. And say again. And you've got Finjuice.
If they at least have a name. Of those named, two of the teams are fucking immobile. Well, that's not fair. Makabe and Kojima aren't immobile, but fucking Tenzan and Honma are.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not
I'll join you, but I'm not fucking watching it.
That's fine. I will watch it, I don't mind. But there are two things that I take issue with when it comes to the World Tag League announcement. The first is that you are absolutely right. There doesn't seem to have been any thought put into the teams. I mean,
with the exception of Zack Sabre Jr., they are a great team.
Yeah,
I love them.
I agree. I agree, but, well, I'll go into that a little bit in a minute, but you look at the teams, and we have been dying for an Ishii and a Goto team. And again, it just seems to be, no, we're not going to give you that. Oh, fuck's sake. I mean, we've had to draft someone in for Shingo. At least we have a Shingo in this World Tag League. One of the main stories this year, I say one of the main stories, one of the sort of underlying stories was the fact that Makabe and Yano had reconciled. So it seems completely baffling to me that we have now separated them. We've got Colt Cabana in the World Tag League.
To be fair, Cabana, they will at least bring some comedy to proceedings.
I agree, but I mean, Yano does that anyway, no matter who he's with. And that was part of the, you know, the endearing part of the Yano and Ishii tag team. Looking at those teams, I mean, you're going to highlight, you can sort of see who New Japan are pushing by who is in the main event, and more specifically, who is going to be in the main event at Korakuen Hall. Now, so the dates of Korakuen Hall are the 17th and 18th of November, and then the 28th and the 29th of November. Now, the main events on those shows are Evil and Sonata versus El Terrible and Shingo. You've got Finjuice versus Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. Then you've got Evil and Sonata versus Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. And then you've got Yoshihashi and Tomohiro Ishii against Evil and Sonata. Now, I don't want to label, you know, lay doom and gloom at your door, Chris, but we cannot possibly get another Evil and Sonata versus Gorillas of Destiny final.
It's gonna happen. Like, I'm fine with tag divisions falling down the wayside, especially with as many singles titles as New Japan has. But if you're going to do that, don't subject us to... I say subject us, I'm not fucking watching it. But, like, don't subject your fans to it. Like, don't... They basically create the last 2 months of the year post-Power Struggle are just not worth watching. Like, I'll be honest with you, Rob. I cancelled my New Japan World and... Power Struggle because I don't want to pay for a month of Tag League.
Wow. You want that against World Tag League?
No. It's, but here's the thing. New Japan World does it weirdly where you can't, where your cancel date and payment date isn't when you sign up but on the first. So I'm sort of like, I'm not paying my monthly subscription for this one show that I'm not hot for.
So you're going to cancel it and then restart it on the 1st of January?
Yeah, I'm restarting on the 1st of January. I just don't bother with December and... Because Jesus fucking Christ, Rob.
I mean, they've made it very, very difficult to get anything close to excited for this show.
You can even roll your eyes at what I'm about to say, but how Stardom does their tag league is perfect because they have it as an undercard thing to their regular proceedings. Because how Stardom basically work, they have their tour, and then like once or twice a month they'll be in Korakuen Hall, and that's where the titles are defended. So like, if New Japan just made this a regular tour with like a couple, like another match and a a junior tag main event in Korakuen or something, and then just have the tag league as an undercard thing, I'd be completely fine with it. But the fact that it's for complete focus, and they clearly don't put any effort into it, and we haven't, the whole time I've watched, we've never really put effort into it. I mean, like, with the exception of the Great Bash Heel story, there's basically no effort ever put into tag league, so it's very fucking hard to care. Like, I'm not even mad, I'm so indifferent towards tag league.
Okay.
Especially since half of it is single camera stuff, and the last few years to go by, and like there's a lot of repeated spots. I mean, like spots I thought would come first night, like when Cobb and Elgin were passing people between each other, they were doing that every night. Like matches get, like we think we get like G1 fatigue or Super Juniors fatigue, at least like near the end of Super Juniors and G1 we were having match of the years, mostly thanks to Will Ospreay, but still, like I'd rather, there's so much wrestling out there, Rob, there's so much, and it's just not worth it.
Okay, well, going down this list of teams now, let's eliminate some teams that aren't going to win the World Tag League. Okay, Guerrillas of Destiny are going to be the tag champions, so they aren't going to win it. Okay, they aren't going to do that to us. They aren't going to make us watch this entire tag league only for the champions to win it and choose their own opponent anyway.
Are you saying they won't fuck us because they fucked us last year?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Let's hope that doesn't happen again. Okay, so they are, for me, they aren't going to win it.
It's going to be Evil and Sonata. Let's not even bother eliminating it. It will be Evil and Sonata. Name another legitimate team there.
Well, you say it's going to be Evil and Sonata. After Power Struggle, we are clearly leading to something else, especially for Sonata. Unfortunately, that leaves Evil behind, but I think there was enough of something there to say to me, Sonata is going to be in a singles match on one of those cards. And we'll go into that when we look at Power Struggle, but for me, it's enough to eliminate Evil and Sonata from winning it. Now, if you eliminate the champions and Evil Sonata, okay, you're not going to have Shingo and El Terrible win it. You're not going to bring someone in for a tour and then have them win it. It just isn't going to happen. The Goto and Carl Fredericks team, unfortunately, that team has a young line in it. They aren't going to win it. Kenta is the never open weight champion. Not going to happen, okay? So, can you see Yano and Colt Cabana winning tag league? Really?
But last year, I did predict Best Friends, so...
That's true. Okay, so for me, they aren't going to win. Lance Archer is the United States champion, okay? They aren't going to win it, which leaves us with the following teams. Finn Juice, Sabre and Taichi, but Sabre is the current British heavyweight champion for RevPro and will probably be defending it on the Wrestle Kingdom card. He's not going to win it.
The two knights of the dome might help that.
I don't know. I personally don't see someone who is a singles champion also being in the tag team championship picture. I just don't see it. For me personally, and again, Zach is going to be defending that Rev Pro Championship. I don't see him winning tag league as well. Much as I would love to see Zack and Taichi there, and I would because I think they're a fantastic team. I would love to see them win it. I just don't think they will. It leaves us with Tenkoji, GBH, Chase Owens and Bad Luck Farley.
Nope.
Ishii and Yoshihashi.
No, because Ishii would probably be going for... I'm pretty sure we'll end up with Kenta again, unless one of the things teased on Power Struggle actually happens.
Exactly. We've got Nakanishi and Nagata, which just isn't going to happen. Nagata can still go, but Nakanishi's barely mobile. Hinari and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Sorry, a really bad throat. Again, from Power Struggle, we know that Tanahashi isn't going to be wrestling for the tag team titles on one night when he's got such a high profile match on the second. Cobb and Nichols. So,
you know about Cobb and Nichols, that's such a high start that then fucking drops. It's the fucking lost of wrestling.
Could you, if there was one team here that encapsulates how thrown together this tag league is?
Cobb isn't even in chaos. Nichols is chaos.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Sorry, for anyone who's listening, I've got a really bad throat. That's why I keep coughing. I keep trying to mute my mic before I do it. But if you do hear me coughing, I'm sorry. I'm really trying to not do it in my mic.
He hasn't had this bad a throat since Black Cup.
Oi. The three teams for me are... Well, the two teams it's between are Finn Juice and Ishii and Yoshihashi.
I still think it's going to be Evil Sanada. And quite frankly... I really don't want to be doom and gloom about this. New Japan is one of my main stops for wrestling. So like the fact that I'm skipping this is bad for me.
I think it will be Ishii and Yoshihashi. And bear with me. The reason I think this, they made, and on the Destruction Tour, obviously, Ishii and Yoshihashi went for the tag titles against the Guerrillas of Destiny. Didn't win it. And you had, most of the match was about how Yoshihashi had been in the company for so long and had not won a championship. Okay, he'd never won a championship. He'd had opportunities, never did it. We know, Chris, that New Japan don't do anything without good reason. And it seems to me that if that's going to be the storyline, it makes sense for him and Ishii to win the tag titles. Now, you mentioned Ishii going against Kenta. I'll talk about why I don't think that is going to happen. But I don't know. I see, though, it's either going to be those two or Finn Juice.
Yeah, so I see your internalized logic there. To be fair, my analytical part of my brain sort of shut off as soon as Tag League was mentioned.
You never know, man. There might be a couple of good matches. I doubt it.
No, that's why I'm doing this with you, because I'll have like the half hour of it, but you'll go, well, that's worth checking out. And I'll probably check it out and go, oh, that was a fine match. I'm glad I didn't watch the rest of them. So,
well, that's enough World Tag League talk for now. Obviously, the World Tag League, again, 16th of November it starts, and it will end on December 8th in Hiroshima. And by the end of this tour, we will have a very, very full picture of what is going to be happening at Wrestle Kingdom 14. Now, that leads me in very, very well to the Power Struggle show that we have just watched from the 3rd of November 2019. Now, overall, Chris, before we analyse this card, what did you think of this show?
It was fine. It was good. I don't regret watching it. I'll probably not rewatch anything from it. It was fine.
For me, this was a far better card and a far more consistent card than King of Pro Wrestling.
The undercard was better. The marquee matches at King of Pro Wrestling were miles better, though.
You say that. Well, I'll tell you what. Shall we go through it match by match? We started with an 8-man tag team match with the team of TJP, Clark Connors, Titan, and Volador Jr. defeating the team of Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, Taguchi, and Yuya Uemura. At 5 minutes and 34 seconds after a detonation kick. Now, it's your typical undercard match, nothing offensive. The one thing I wanted to ask you, Chris, with what happens later on in the card, we're rapidly running out of people for Jushin Thunder Liger to face in this final match on January 5th.
Because for our big thing was Hiromu, and then I imagine something will be set up. I imagine Liger doesn't quite want the pressure of going against like a Hiromu, but then again, he kept up with Ishimori earlier in the year, so I don't quite. We definitely are running out. Although I really enjoyed this. You said nothing offensive. That implies it was boring. I wasn't bored during this match. I really enjoyed it, especially with Titan and Volador. Every time I see the CMLL guys doing like Fantastic Mania, I'm like, this is cool. I should check out CMLL. And then I never fucking did.
I must admit, Titan is much improved, especially at the start of the Best of Super Juniors. I found him very boring and quite by the numbers.
I think the issue you had in Super Juniors was you had much more interesting leeches in there with Dragon Lee and Bandida.
So yeah, like, that T-Tan, might be it.
Because like, if Titan was put, I'm pretty sure if Titan was put in a match. But again, Volador Genius, like one of CMLL's main guys. And to be fair, I loved Volador here. I loved the short burst he had. Yeah. I especially loved his Spider-Man gear, which is the Super Spider-Man PS4. Great game. Rob can't play it because he has an Xbox. Fucking loser. But,
unnecessarily harsh.
I love seeing TJP.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I'm sure you read that tweet or his Instagram post where he mentioned how basically he was told what he could and couldn't do, and he was told to hold his style back. Anything that resembled a move that anyone else did, he wasn't allowed to do, and referees would often be told to cut matches short and things like that. And basically he said, I couldn't wrestle as me. And I think matches like this, and I did catch a few of the Super Junior Tag League matches, and he is an extremely good wrestler, and the more that we are to see of TJP in New Japan, I would be more than happy with that.
I think you just need to, like, even outside of like his Impact stuff, PWG stuff, what have you, like the slightly more obscure part that mainstream fans might not have seen, you just look at his Cruiserweight Classic stuff, and he was a standout. Like, he was a standout in the field with Gargano, Ciampa, Grand Metal League, Ibushi, Zack Sabre Jr. You know, like, he felt like a deserving winner among that field. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at people who stood out in that tournament, and, you know, if you believe the rumours, obviously the tournament was made apparently for Zack Sabre Jr. But it was ZSJ, it was Kota Ibushi, it was Cedric Alexander, and it was TJP. Those were your four. Yeah.
Aside from Gargano, like, it seems to be a minority here, but the Gargano Ciampa match in that tournament is my favourite one in the tournament. I know most people say Alexander and Ibushi, and I see that, but I prefer the Gargano Ciampa match, just personally.
Yeah. Moving back to this match, 5 stars, I think that's fair.
I gave it a 6 just because I enjoy seeing the luchas so much, but I think that's just because I'm not used, with the exception of Dragon Lee, who wrestles a bit more strong style than he does lucha. I'm not used to seeing this sort of stuff in New Japan, so that might have just been a culture shock type thing. So I'll go with your 5.
Okay, cool. Who have you got for Liger, man?
Candy Floss.
Would it be out of the realms of possibility of him facing someone like, I don't know, Amara Fuji?
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if he gave him a heavyweight.
Okay, but you look at heavyweights, what has been announced at Wrestle Kingdom? All of the heavyweights that, and this is no disrespect to anyone, but all of the heavyweights that are worthy of Jushin Thunder Liger's last match are tied up in programs. And the last thing people want as Liger's last match is another foray into a Tiger Mask or a Makabe.
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine we're not even going to know until January 4th.
It'll certainly be interesting. We'll see.
What day's the tag, the junior match on again?
The 5th.
5th. Okay, so that's definitely Hiromu.
I think, anyway. I think I will double check that, but I think it's the 5th.
Okay, well. I don't know. I generally, like, after Suzuki and Hiromu were your main people and best ups tied up, so I literally cannot answer that question.
Let's move on, because we could drive ourselves insane with this, because I'll be honest, I was convinced it was going to be Tanahashi, so I was clearly very, very wrong. We move on then to the second match, which was a tag team match with the current IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions El Fantasmo and Taiji Ishimori defeating the Chaos Team of Rocky Romero and Robbie Eagles at 8 minutes 42 with the CR2. Good match. Really, really, really good match, this.
Really fun match. EOP, the main spot being EOP carrying Rocky while doing an old school to Eagles.
It was fairly spectacular, even when he lost his balance at the end, which was slightly terrifying.
The only thing that could... You think that's terrifying? You did see the bot that happened with B. Priestley and Mayo Iwatani, right?
Oh, God, yeah. That was scary.
For people who don't know, going for a Hurricane Rana was Mayo. B. Priestley lost her footing before she could rotate and just dropped Mayo right on her neck. She's really lucky that Mayo's neck is made of rubber, because Jesus Christ.
It was not a good spot.
It was not pleasant. But anyway, the only thing that would have made this better, if while Robbie was walking along, he'd started singing Biker Taker songs.
You've done it now!
That would have been amazing. But yeah, this was fun. Again, I'm really happy that Rocky still has it, because we thought he lost it, and he hasn't, and it's amazing. Chaos has a few too many juniors, in my opinion, but you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But to be fair, there's at least a ton of people to take over when Ospreay eventually moves up. It was fun. Like, obviously, Eagles and Rocky weren't going to win because then they'd have claim for a junior tag title shot.
Genuinely thought that was going to happen. I genuinely was like, after last year, why the fuck not? Just go for it.
To be fair, I prefer the result that happened, kind of, in theory. But yeah, this was fun. We've harped on it. We've talked about it a bit longer than we kind of had to, really, because it was mostly just fun. It was mostly a regular junior match for that one spot. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. That one spot got it 7 for me.
I gave it a 6 because I'm not thinking with my heart, which is clearly what you're thinking with.
Oh, do you think I'm thinking with my heart now? Wait till we get to the Tai Chi match.
Taiji Ishimori, is he sort of being... I don't want to say the word buried. I don't want to say the word buried.
He's not being buried.
Okay, no. I don't want to say buried because he's not being buried. Is he sort of lost in the shuffle at the moment?
When you consider where he was at the beginning of the year, absolutely. Like, at the beginning of the year, he was like the hottest junior, other than maybe Shingo. Like, he beat Kushida for the title, and then he had a really good run, actually. He dragged really like 9 out of 10 matches out of both Liger and Taguchi.
Yes, he did. That match with Taguchi was surprisingly good, and the Liger match was a 9-star match. Absolutely.
So it's really hard to. I don't know. I think the problem is he's teamed with ELP, who is probably the most charismatic junior outside of Ospreay.
I don't know, man. Call it a hot take. I can't take to Fantasmo, and we've discussed this on the podcast before. I don't know whether it's
you were hot on him before he got to New Japan, but you're not massive on him in New Japan.
No, and I don't know if it's because he's trying too hard as a heel, or whether I don't know what it is, Chris. I don't know whether it's because it's the same 5 moves of Doom, or I don't know what it is. I'm not hot on Fantasmo, horrible as that sounds, and potentially an inverted commas hot take as that might be.
Well, he's very precise, very crisp. His moveset is a bit bland. Like a lot of his finishes are a bit dull.
The CR2 is a terrible finisher. Awful.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the Neutralizer and the Styles Clash had a shit baby.
I mean, you look at Ishimori for this finish. Ishimori hit the bloody cross. For El Fantasma to hit the CR2, and the bloody cross is such a better move.
That's me. Ishimori has a very exciting move set, and he does the best. Everyone seemingly does a fucking swing down into a from the ropes into a German suplex now, but he does it better. He does it the best.
Absolutely. Anyway, we've talked far too long about that. Bullet Club take the victory, and it's not the last time of the night we'll be seeing them. 6-man tag team action next, match 3, with the Los Ingobernables de Japón team of Evil, Sonata, and Shingo Takagi, defeating Suzuki-gun team of Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and the United States champion, Lance Archer, at 9 minutes and 7 seconds with an inside cradle. Go on, Chris.
Where was Suzuki's theme?
I was just going to say this. They came out to the new IWGP United States Heavyweight Champions music, which isn't the worst music in the world, to be fair.
No, it's not. And to be fair, everybody dies comes out of nowhere from that.
It really does. It really does come from absolutely nowhere.
Like, everybody. And it's awful. It's that bit. I don't like the bit before the everybody dies, but after that, the song becomes a bit hype. But, yeah, when you have Suzuki has the best entrance music in New Japan.
I'd say so. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone with better music than him.
He is definitely the most memorable music in New Japan. I'm like, so why the fuck wouldn't he use it? I'm dwelling on this because this match had very little else. There was a nice pumping bomber from Shingo, but that's about it.
This match was, you know, the whole point of Power Struggle is that you are building towards Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, you've seen one Suzuki-gun versus LIJ match, you've seen them all.
Yeah, and I think this was more to set up two potential feuds here. So we have got Sonata gaining the inside cradle victory over British Heavyweight Champion Zack Sabre Jr. Now, in my eyes, that means we are going to get Sonata versus Zack at Wrestle Kingdom for that title. Don't forget, I believe Sonata beat ZSJ in the opening night of the G1 as well, so he does have a claim to that title.
He did, and it was the third best match of night. Nah, second best match of night one. So.
Very, very good match. Now, are you happy with that? Do you think that's, you know, considering the push Sonata has been given this year, are you happy to see that at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, any title match is better than no title match, I guess, and everything else sort of tied up. So, like, honestly, I'd rather have that than... I would much rather have that than a... Another fucking Evil and Sonata versus Gorillas versus Gorillas of Destiny match. So, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Nobody wants that. The other potential for you, now this one is slightly more up in the air, but I do think we've had enough for this to be happening, is going to be probably a special singles match between Shingo and Suzuki.
I'm down to that. Shingo works well with veterans. Look at the Kojima match earlier this year.
Oh my God, I'm so down with that. I mean, good grief. I mean, one of my favourite matches last year, and I talk about this match all the damn time considering it didn't make our end of year match list, was Suzuki versus Ishii, just beating the living shit out of each other. And if Shingo proved anything in the G1 is that he is a tough motherfucker. So,
I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. We'll have to see, though. I think that one's a bit more pie in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. 5 stars?
5, yeah. Nothing wrong, nothing right. Exactly. The pumping bomb is always nice.
Always.
Then again, we're talking to Stan Hansen.
Match 4. Tag team action again with the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi defeating the Chaos team of Kazuchika Okada and Yoshihashi at 10 minutes and 51 with the High Fly Flow. If you've got a team of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi and you are facing any team with Yoshihashi in it, guess who's taking the fall? This had... very little to talk about. It was a solid match, a really good match. This was more about the post-match angle.
Yeah. He's got a preview of Okada and Ibushi, but only with their signature spots, so we don't get any given away for Wrestle Kingdom, so that's good.
Exactly. Post-match, Hiroshi Tanahashi is celebrating, and we get a video package. The video package is of seemingly 20, maybe 25, Hiroshi Tanahashi's, they are playing air guitars, and then they are suddenly beaten down by a man in a spiky jacket. And lo and behold, it is Le Champion, Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho announces that he wants Hiroshi Tanahashi at the Tokyo Dome on the 5th of January. Now, this is clearly to complete Chris Jericho's set of having the four pillars of New Japan in Kenny Omega, Tetsuya Naito, Okada, and Tanahashi. Are you down for this, Chris? What are you feeling for this?
It'd be fine. It would be a fine match, assuming Tanahashi... Because Tanahashi is basically going to have Toa Hanari do all the fucking work in Tag League, so he's basically getting a month off. So his knee should be at least 50%. So this should be an alright match.
honestly, I'm expecting around the quality of the Okada match, maybe the quality of the first Naito slash Evil match, if we're lucky.
Yeah, I think Tanahashi has always worked better when he's working from underneath, when he's working as the babyface in peril. Tanahashi plays that so well. And I think Jericho works better when he's dominating a match and beating the living shit out of someone, as proved by, you know, the Kenny Omega match, for example, where he spent a lot of time on top, or the Naito match at Wrestle Kingdom 13, where he spent a lot of time on top. And I think that dynamic could certainly work. My question to you, Chris, is who wins?
That's a good point, actually, because Cross Town is AEW champion. Well, he may not be. Full Gear predictions on our Twitter. I don't know. I genuinely don't know, because like, we've counted Jericho out quite a lot in New Japan. Well, we counted him out twice, and then he beat Naito. It's like, well, I guess we can never fucking count him out again. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. We're gonna need more build before I can tell.
It's a difficult one, because is this the last time we're going to see Jericho in New Japan? Probably. You know, what else is there for him to do? Jay White? Not really, no.
Shingo. There's a lot of matches that would be cool, but whether or not they'd be good, like, he sort of ran the gambit of, like, he's faced all the pillars that were the pillars when he came in.
Yeah, I mean, the only one really that there is any potential is potentially Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't... Yeah, I think that would be more to serve an AEW angle, though. Like, if he was feuding with Omega, then, like, being able to come up with anything compelling.
Yeah, well, we'll
see. There's an AEW contract, apparently, that he can go to Japan whenever, as long as it doesn't clash with AEW dates, so...
Yeah, but it's also an Omega's contract, and, you know, Omega's is banned for 10 years from Japan, apparently.
Well, no, Omega can fight wherever he wants as long as it doesn't clash, but also he's using that to fight in, like, AAA and DDT, like, stuff, places he actually wants to wrestle.
Yeah, it's such a shame that their relationship's soured, isn't it, really?
It is, but, like...
Move on, people.
We can't...
Can't dwell on that.
Yeah, we can't dwell on that. I'm relatively excited, but of all the, like, properly announced matches, is probably the one I'm least looking forward to.
Yeah.
Like, not in terms of I'm not looking forward to it, but, like, you know, Ibushi versus Okada. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh, it's going to be incredible. We move on then to match 5, which was the special singles match between Tetsuya Naito, defeating Taichi at 12:56 with the Destino. Go on, Chris.
I love this match. I'm not even past my Taichi bias. I did really, really enjoy this match. Like, the brawl of the crowd was fun. A super Kurokan ran and counted into a fucking powerbomb.
It's probably my favorite Taichi match.
No, it's not my favorite Taichi match. I think the Osprey matches were better. Also, him versus Liger at Best of Super Genius, that was. In terms of storytelling, that's second to none. Taichi is just a great heel. And also, oh Christ, what's the one we... his Ishii matches, I think, are rather spectacular. But this was really good. There was a Northern Lights bomb, which I actually popped for, because what a fucking move.
It was amazing. Honestly, these two, and... I ragged on their match at the New Beginning in Sapporo, and the reason I ragged on it was because, not because of their work in ring, because if it was based purely on in-ring, it would have been great.
The match in that match were really good. You can see how good we are from their G1 matches.
Exactly.
Wow. It's the...
10 minutes of bullshit.
Yeah, it's the Azuka factor, but...
But there was no bullshit in this match. Taichi just wanted to embarrass Naito. And that Taichi, that vindictive, basically cunt Taichi, was brilliant. And in this match, I was fully engaged in this match. The only negative thing in this match was that it only went 12 minutes.
It was way too short.
Yeah, far too short for me. Like, far too short.
Like, for example... The best one in the world, the OP Ishimori Eagles Rocky match, really didn't need to be there. He could have cut that, given the however much time, put them in the opening tag or whatever, and given that time to Taichi and Nio. But that being said, still really enjoyable. A lot of really, really good counters. And also, I have a question about Naito's moveset, because it's always puzzled me. And I keep forgetting to ask, but I noted it down specifically. How come the running Destino is less effective than the regular Destino?
Is it because Kevin Kelly doesn't have enough time to get his full Destino ejaculation out?
You think that's it? Do you think it's sort of like Kevin Kelly's Destino shout is what the urn is to Undertaker?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. It charges Naito up like wireless charging on an iPhone.
I hate Kevin. Although, Chris Charlton continued to be great in this match, bringing up a lot of great historical facts. Also, they talked about Tai Chi's music career, and what this is a bit that made me laugh was like, Miho Abe was his only fan, and Kevin Kelly was like, you could do worse, and then Gino Gambino just went, I have.
I know you don't particularly like Gino Gambino. He has greatly grown on me, massively so.
He's become less obnoxious, so I'm fine. He's probably actually listening to notes he's being given and improving, so I can respect that. I don't know how new he is to commentary. I've seen some of his matches, but I'm pretty sure he's turned up in progress a couple of times.
Are you happy with this three-man booth? If these were the three to commentate on Wrestle Kingdom 14, which they probably will be, when you look at Don Callis's, you know, everything he's doing with Impact, the chances of him being able to get out of it for just Wrestle Kingdom is very, very slim. I think the chances are we're going to get this three-man booth.
He still turned up last year's Wrestle Kingdom, and he had the same commitments. He's turned up a few times this year. So they rotate people out with keeping Kelly and Charlton as a sort of... To be fair, Charlton's great. I love him.
Yeah, Charlton is great. I gave this 8 stars, Chris.
So did I. This was really good.
I did.
Probably the third best Tai Chi match of the year after the Ishii matches.
I did briefly consider giving this 7 because of how short it was, but do you know what? Fuck it. It's Tai Chi. I don't give him enough credit sometimes, so fuck it. The Axe Bombers are great.
The one time he was going to win match of the week, you fucking cheated and got one from fucking the week before. And I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you, Rob.
Oh, great stuff. So, the most predictable match in the entire world was match 6, where we saw the Super Junior Tag League 2019 final match, with Roppongi 3K winning it for an unprecedented third time in a row. Second time in a row. Is it second time in a row? With Roppongi Vice winning it the year before that.
Because they won the championships first time in. I keep getting all that mixed up because the junior division means fuck off since the Bucks left. But I'm sick of it. But didn't we just have this match at King of Pro Wrestling as well?
Yeah, Roppongi 3K defeated the Suzuki-Gun team of Yoshinobu Kanemaru and El Desperado at 14 minutes and 13 seconds with the 3K. Yeah, we did.
We've seen this match a lot, Rob. This is also at last year's Dominion.
It was also the opening match of the Super Junior Tag League this year.
We've seen these guys tangle up in different ways too many times for it to be interesting. And to be fair, taking Show out was a good move. Had me interested for a good 30 seconds. And to be fair, seeing Show slowly crawl, that was quite good. But then he got there, and Show things happened. And I love Show. And to that, I like Yo. Yo's a bit more of a Kushida figure where he's a bit boring. I really like the Roppongi 3K, but they have been overpushed, haven't they? They've been leaned on a bit heavy.
I think the problem was New Japan weren't expecting the Bucks to leave. And the Bucks, even though they were heavyweights, I don't think they fully prepared the junior tag division for the Bucks moving on.
You see with Shingo, I accidentally dropped my Paddington coin. You see with like Shingo moving up and the Osprey about to move up, the junior division's been braced for that. Like you have Eagles, Phantasmo, Brutal and Hiromu. The junior division's braced. The tag divisions, on the other hand, are not braced for anyone to leave.
No, and unfortunately, in my opinion, I don't see Roppongi 3K being a tag team at Wrestle Kingdom 15.
No, maybe not. I just... the fact that we're talking about the booking of the match itself speaks to how run-of-the-mill this was after the attack.
Yeah, Suzuki-Gun beat the shit out of Roppongi 3K before the match, and then it was a very standard Roppongi 3K Suzuki-Gun match. There was nothing of any real note. It was very standard, good, crisp. I love Despy. 6 stars, I think.
We both love Despy, and we both love Kanemaru. He's not a guilty pleasure.
Oh no, Kanemaru's great.
Yeah, fucking Kevin. But it's weird because like the least interesting person in this match is Yo.
I think if Yo was to go on his own, I think
he'd be. I think I said this already. He'd be quite a Kushida figure.
I don't know. I'd think he'd be a Kushida figure if he was to remain face. I think if he was to go heel and be a more, because if you look at his moveset, especially in Best of the Super Juniors, Sho has the more, I don't know, the more babyface moveset, the more power moves, whereas Yo relies a lot on the submission game, and I can see him being quite cynical with it and quite cold with it.
It's very easy for Sho. I think it's almost as easy for Sho to be heel, because a lot of it is technical within, especially within the junior division. Like, you start overpowering people, that's just not junior wrestling. And with how the junior division builds itself as more like a collective trying to stand out, I think that's more a better way to go over heel.
Yeah. Anyway, Roppongi 3K won the Junior Tag League again, which I think everyone knew was going to happen.
And then EOP and Ishimori steal the trophy.
Which was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Though, it came after the tamest belt shot to the face I think I've ever seen.
Oh, that's like the equivalent of Lance Storm's chair shot.
It's the equivalent of an Edge spear. It was dreadful.
It's the equivalent of a Heskey penalty kick. I made a football reference. I don't think
you
I've
did.
Made
I'm
it right.
So proud of you. I'm so.
I know who Heskey is.
I love the fact that this is the first time you've ever made a football reference in one of our podcasts, and it's Emil Heskey that you've referred to. Outstanding.
I know there was a drive to get him on the front cover of FIFA, and then that failed. I saw people try to get him on the front cover of PES. So.
Oh, outstanding. I gave the 6 stars, Chris. What did you give it?
Yeah, I gave it 6. If I hadn't seen this match so many fucking times in the last year and a half, I might have given it a 7. But no, not a 7. It's a 6.
Yeah, absolutely. We then go to match 7. We're moving into the 3 main events of the show, and this was the Never Openweight Championship match with the champion Kenta defeating Tomohiro Ishii at 20 minutes and 12 seconds with the go to sleep. Now, everyone assumed that this would be the match that we were supposed to get at Royal Quest before Kenta took a nasty, nasty bump on his dome. And fuck me, was it. This was a great match.
This is really good. This division is where Kenta belongs.
Oh, 100. And how many times have we said, Chris, that this division should be there? I'm going to beat the living piss out of you, division.
Yeah, and like it was getting there last... And that's what the Rev Pro title more was last year, because Goto had the fucking Nen belt.
That is true. But
I think we're still in sort of a phase where we're trying of taking the Nen belt seriously, because Chris Charlton brought up an alarming fact where with his one defense against Yoshihashi, Kenta is the only person to have a successful defense in over a year.
Since Goto in 2018. It's an alarming fact.
When you consider Will Ospreay has held that title this year, Ibushi's held that title this year.
Wait, that's not right. Ospreay defended against Dalton Castle at Honor Rising.
Oh yeah, he did. I forgot about that match.
I mean, I don't. Are they canon, really?
I was about to say it's basically a Ring of Honor show.
I mean, it's not really canon, is it? We'll sweep that under the rug.
Put it under the rug, yeah. So he's joint. He's now the most successful. It doesn't matter because he's now the most successful with 2 defenses.
Yeah, he came out as well on Chris Charlton and said that I believe that the average defense of a never open weight champion is 1.2. That's right. 1.2 defenses. So basically, 1 defense is the average. That's awful.
I always get like when people go like 1.0, especially when it's like people, it's like the average amount of people who will get a stubbed toe in a day is 1.5 out of 3. And I'm like, how do you get half a person? Is it just like 1 person and then a Nazi?
One person and a Nazi. Brilliant.
To realise that Nazis do have families and we also deserve to be shot. That bit's even more important. Now, anti-fascist accent. Anyway.
This was just a striking masterclass. I mean, Kenta slapping the bald head of Ishii. I was like, are you a madman? What are you doing, you lunatic?
You're going to fucking die. And then, like, Ishii's lariats are just... Kenta's kicks are getting back to where they were very quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, when you see, like, as much as with Ibushi, what didn't even have kicks this. Then again, I guess Ishii just wouldn't feel it because he's made of pure fucking stone. But, like, I say he's made of stone. Ishii, that's his nickname, but, like, Ishii doesn't look like it was carved out of stone more than, like, he was thrown on the ground and then he was the remains of... He's what remained of the main stone after everything else fell off.
No, I agree. He's just... His neck seems to descend more and more into his shoulders every time I see him.
He looks... Like, when he's in a suit, he looks like a Yakuza boss.
I wouldn't mess with him. Even though I know that, you know, it's wrestling and, you know, even though some of those fucking...
He's best mates with Toriano for the same reason Suzuki had the stupid hair. Because, like, are you going to mess with him? He can have whatever fucking company he wants.
The man is a fucking lunatic. There was one moment where Kenta was in the corner and Ishii is doing his forearm slaps. So forearm to the head, followed by slap to the chest. And he carried on and he carried on and Kenta slumped. Ishii picked him up. Did it again. Kenta slumped. Ishii picked and just it carried on. And there was a wonderful camera shot as Ishii walked off of Kenta facing, just wrapped in the second rope, looking out to the crowd, just with that look of fuck me. Jesus.
Kenta's really came into his own as a heel. Now, I don't know his history in Noah. I don't know. I've seen the matches, but I don't know the stories in Noah, so I don't know if he's ever been like a heel or like a heel in the heavyweight division, but he's currently probably the best heel in New Japan.
Better than Switchblade?
No, because we don't laugh at Kenta's antics. We sort of giggle a lot at Switchblade's antics, like when he was going around the title going, "No, Goto! No!"
Oh, that was brilliant. That was amazing. No, Goto!
I mean, it's like, Tanahashi, you want to go? No, Tanahashi! It's just... it is amazing, but also I don't hate Jay White, whereas when Kenta pulls his bullshit, I do hate Kenta.
Yeah, oh my god, it's amazing. Oh, I'm still pissing myself. No, Goto! anyway, this match, you've got your usual shenanigans and shit, which...
Your normal shenanigans and shit. That is the voice of a man who has lost his train of thought because he didn't expect to laugh.
Oh, that was, honestly, that was absolutely just incredible. Oh, right, anyway, so, bullshit happened, and we had another little tease of potentially what could happen at Wrestle Kingdom 14. Kenta attacked Shibata.
Wasn't that in the IC match?
Oh my god, it was.
Fuck's sake.
Ignore that. Doesn't matter. Two go to sleeps. Ishii down. Kenta retains. 8 stars.
Yeah, this is... really, really fun. This is what the division should be. Not necessarily match of the year quality, but like your fill of, is he actually dead? Without the actual Royal Quest, is he actually dead? I really want to see. Do you know who Joe Doring is?
Yes, All Japan.
Yeah, he's basically a modern day Stan Hansen, right down to being a cowboy. I want to see him in this division.
That would be incredible. But yeah, really, really good match. You are absolutely right. The more Kenta wrestles, the better he's getting. And yeah, we are, especially with that striking, we are getting to that Kenta that was feared in Noah. And that's great for this division.
Like, but I remember, well, actually, no, this wasn't Kenta, it was Asuka, but I always thought they should have done it with Kenta whenever he was coming back. Asuka was feuding with Dana Brooke, and Dana Brooke was like, why am I going to be scared of Asuka? She's just someone who runs around with like face paint and a mask. And then William Regal put on a video of her, of Asuka kicking people. I always thought they should have done that with Kenta, put him up against Adam Rose or something.
Yeah.
Because that would have been amazing. By the way, have you seen Adam Rose nowadays?
Oh, he looks like he's eating Adam Rose.
The fucking unit, isn't he?
He's an absolute machine. What the fuck happened to him?
Like, Adam Rose and, like, what Adam Rose was is, like, you versus the guy she tells you not to worry about.
It's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Match 8 and the semi-main event was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match, with the champion Will Ospreay defeating Bushi at 16 minutes and 20 seconds with the Stormbreaker. And Will Ospreay continues his run of putting on absolutely stellar matches, no matter who the fuck he's against, because this, Chris, was fucking great.
This is really good. Although my favourite part of the match wasn't actually a move, it was when Will Ospreay kissed the mist out of Bushi.
Absolutely. Just honestly, you looked at it and just went, that's absolutely incredible. And then you've got Will Ospreay just smiling through the ropes.
I was so happy because you don't get enough predatory homosexuality in wrestling nowadays. So
okay.
That should be a t-shirt. You don't. A vote for me is a vote for the G, and G1 stands for gay.
Oh my god, the G. He came out in that shirt again. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We'll go on to that in the main event because that shirt still makes me laugh. No, Goto!
We're really lucky Garth's cancelled for later tonight, or we'd keep saying it and you'd get very confused.
Oh,
anyway.
He would. Yeah, so, really, really,
that was
really
genius,
good match.
Actually, because like it sucked it out and then threw it back. Like, this match wasn't, because the best one in the world, I think it's Bushi's injuries that sort of holding back, isn't it? Like, he's not what he once was.
No,
because he was once the hottest heel in the Juniors.
He's nowhere near where he used to be. He can still put on very good matches, but he now relies very much on gimmick to get him through matches, and he has been forgotten in a lot of ways in that junior division.
He's the least interesting junior, like constant junior probably, so like I don't really blame anyone for forgetting him. Like, at least Tiger Mask is Tiger Mask. Although we did mention this in the first one about Young Lions being tipped to be the next Tiger Mask. I'm down with that.
Because Tiger Mask quite cool.
Because Tiger Mask is a very simple moveset to begin with, so just teach them that and you're golden.
Teach them the Tiger Driver and the Butterfly Suplex, you're fine.
Yeah, and do... I you know what I miss? I miss Tiger Mask 1 Soul Butts. He had really good Soul Butts. Anyway.
This match. Cool. I'll be honest, Chris, and there's a reason why we're sort of going over this match, and you'll see in a minute. I gave this 9.
I think that's a bit high.
Really?
I think 9 is really because you expected this match to be the pits. Well, not the pits. They expected it to be like a 7.
Well, no, which... that's not true, because they, in the, I don't know if it was Ospreay's opening match of the Best of the Super Juniors, they put on another classic, and we gave that 8, and this, I feel, was better than their Best of the Super Juniors match.
I feel it's about on par. Like, I can remember more from this just because of the kiss, which you need to put some fucking sex jazz music over. But I'm not gonna try and shit all over your good score, because ultimately you run the website and you can do what you want. But I give it an 8 at tops, really.
Okay, all right. Well, like, I'm gonna give it a 9 because, like you say, it's
compare this to the Phantasmo match from King of Pro Wrestling.
I don't know if I have a slight bias because I'm not a massive fan.
Okay. When you compare it, what else? Well, when you compare it to the Jay White match, which we gave a 9.
At the anniversary show.
Yeah. Which was spectacular. Or when you compare it to a lot of the Ospreay matches, like the Archer match, which we also gave a 9.
Yeah, no, you have a good point. You have a good point. I think 8 is fair. It's a high 8, but an 8, fair enough.
I feel really bad for shitting all of your enthusiasm for this match, but like the fact that the only thing we really can talk about is the Kiss, and beyond that is sort of a standard Bushi Osprey match.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Will Ospreay then cut a promo saying that he'd beaten every single junior and that he invited everyone to step up, or anyone in the changing room to step up. And then a bomb appeared on the TV.
But this was spoiled for me. I was so annoyed that this got spoiled.
Yeah, it got spoiled for me as well.
It wasn't even because I went on social media. I was at an event that day. And the guy next to me just went, "Oh, did you talk about how she returns?" And the dude he was with was annoyed because he hadn't seen it yet.
Just fucking... Oh. Anyway,
I almost threw him over.
A bomb appeared. Daryl appeared. Hiromu Takahashi returned to an absolutely enormous reception. And he's back. And he cut a promo saying... People think I've got to be careful with how I'm wrestling. You know, people think I'm going to have to change my style. He then proceeded to wrestle himself and take ridiculous bumps.
You thought Ric Flair doing this was fucking insane. He basically buckle-bombed himself.
Twice in both corners and then took an enormous flat back bump.
He did it on the floor as well. What the fuck is wrong with you?
But then he stood. He did like a... sort of Bray Wyatt crab thing on his head, which was brilliant because he was then just going to Will Ospreay, "Mike, please. Mike, please." Will Ospreay had to hold the mic to Takahashi's head upside down as he challenged Will Ospreay to a match, which I've just checked was on the 4th of January, the opening night of Wrestle Kingdom 14. Oh, in my opinion, God, Chris.
And just... I love it. We've talked about how much we missed him, but I didn't realise until he came back out how much I genuinely missed him.
He says, "I'm going to make the junior division fun again." And, you know, I don't think the junior division hasn't been fun by any stretch of the imagination, but...
He's his best Super Junior since I've started watching.
Exactly. It was an outstanding Best of the Super Juniors, and everyone performed. There was no one who was shit. No one at all. Even Taka Michinoku. Well, yeah, okay, Doki wasn't great, but he still managed to put on good matches. His match with Ren Narita was great.
Yeah, Ren Narita. That's a sign of a... Anyway, we can't go on about Ren Narita. Anyway, so, yeah, just... But, like, Takahashi just has... He's the full package.
He's just amazing. He really, really is. And we have been waiting for so long for this.
He never not doesn't try. Which I think is like it's an Ospreay quality as well, but like he'll try and put on match of the night whatever card he's on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw him actually live against Mark Haskins, and that was a great match.
I mean, you look at Hiromu's moveset. You put him against Will Ospreay, the wrestler of the year this year.
Here's the thing, we saw this match, we've seen, what, 2 or 3 times? Well, not, no, we've seen this match twice, I believe.
Dominion 2018.
And there was also New Beginning earlier in the year.
Yes.
And also the Fatal 4-Way, if you want to count that. But, the fact that this match hasn't happened in a long time, and also the fact that Will Ospreay has effectively leveled up in the last year.
Is this the moment? I mean, let's be blunt here. On the 4th of January, Takahashi's taking that belt.
Yeah, like, because, again, Ospreay's round for everyone. There's no point in keeping it on him.
No. And Hiromu returns after, you know, having broken his neck. And at one point, Meltzer reported that it was horrendous and there was a chance he wouldn't wrestle again. And the fact that he's come back... is absolutely fine and is going to go into a match with Will Ospreay to the absolute fanfare of everyone. He's built universally beloved. It just makes sense for him to take it just for those reasons. Never mind the fact that Will Ospreay has just had an absolutely outstanding G1. He's probably the MVP of the G1 aside from Ishii. And is ready for the heavyweight division. The reason that he hasn't gone up is obviously because you hadn't got that person to step up. You hadn't got that, you know, that Kushida that you can fall back on. And now Hiromu's back, and Hiromu, he just is that person. He is that shining light in the junior division.
Yeah, I mean, the ton of, like, Dragon Lee is definitely a feud that needs to happen. Just don't do that fucking driver again.
Oh, the Phoenix fucking Plex. Jesus. Yeah. Oh my God, that made me feel sick.
Dragon Lee is far too short to be doing it. And to be fair, I don't think he's done it since. So I think he might have learned, but like, he's too short to be doing that.
Oh God. That move. Oh. But anyway, he's back. Hiromu's back. Amazing moment, my favourite moment of the night, and yeah, just brilliant. And it just topped off an amazing segment, amazing match, really, really good. We then got to the main event of the night, which was...
Go, go, go!
I have a question, Chris.
Yeah?
Did you know that... The G in G1.
He wore a different shirt. I could swear, because I remember noting down how disappointed I was about that shirt's not on him anymore.
Oh, did he? I thought he'd worn the shirt.
No, it was just a Goto shirt.
Oh, no.
I know.
But did you know that the G in G1 is for Goto, Chris?
It's the worst shirt.
It's the worst shirt.
Was available. Without having to, because I kind of want the shirt.
Oh, it's just the worst. Anyway,
what's the best shirt? What's the best wrestling shirt?
I am slightly biased, but Bray Wyatt before the Fiend, yeah, he was buried and his run was shy, but he had some good merch.
He had it, yeah. I have a Bray Wyatt shirt actually that I got. I've told you about the Axe Dude before, haven't I? He gave me a shirt because he's a triple X, and he ordered an X because he thought he somehow went down two shirt sizes, which he hadn't, fat fuck. But gave it to me, so I have that, and it's probably the best WWE shirt I own, other than Messina shirt. Messina shirt's great.
Johnny Gargano has some good shirts.
Yeah, you know what my favorite one is? It's the Progress one that says "Sex robots will one day be capable of murder."
I know it's your favourite, darling.
It's the best!
I know.
Honestly, I literally only asked so I could bring up my own match.
Anyway, main event, match 9. IWGP Intercontinental Championship match. The champion Switchblade Jay White defeating Hirooki Goto at 27 minutes and 40 seconds with the too Blade long. Runner.
Too fucking long.
At least 10 minutes too long.
Last thing, there is a match on this card that desperately needs another 5-10 minutes, and the main event desperately needed less. So, yeah. But I have very little to say about this match. It was a Jay White Goto match. We've seen a few of them now. We've seen three this year. And you know what? It's not quite as good as the G1 match.
No,
not quite as bad as the Hinokuni match. So,
I don't know. Their G1 match, I felt, had more on the line.
There was a surprise there. Also, Goto had a better shirt.
True story.
It's less of a thought on confusion. Because, of course, Goto's not going to be among the fucking four going for the double championship at Wrestle Kingdom. Of course fucking not. And because Jay White's while I think Kent is a better heel, like you hate him more, we'll talk about that in a fucking second. But he's also he's the biggest heel and has really come and he's really found his style in the last year. Like, last year he managed to learn to keep up with Yorikadi, Tanahashi, Joe Harvey. This year he's come into his own style. He has a very unique, he's the most sadistic of the main bunch in New Japan.
Yeah. And
He can dress someone down. It's a very old school way of doing it, actually. It's not like a Zack Sabre Jr. where it's like, a British jostling for the tiniest bit of leverage. He'll pinpoint a body part and go for it.
I agree. And, you know, I love Switchblade Jay White's matches because they are very, what's the best way of describing it? It's very cerebral in the way he goes for it.
It's become code for like Triple H, Randy Orton.
He's very precise in his movements. Now Goto,
a single wasted movement in a good Jay White match.
Exactly. Goto can be a very, very good competitor, as proved by his match with Shingo.
No, he can be about a year ago.
Well, his match with Shingo was great. He did have a good G1.
Shingo's match with fucking Kojima was great. And again, look at the block Goto was in. Look at him when he was with a slightly uninteresting opponent. And he vastly underperformed. You know what I mean? Like, anyone can have a great match with Goto. Not with Goto. Fuck. Anyone can have a great match with Ishii. Anyone can have a great match with... Basically, anyone can have a great match with Jay White now. Jay White has a very easy to work style. Anyone can have a really good match with fucking Moxley. So like, it's not fucking on Goto that he was having some really good matches in the G1. Because honestly, if you're not having really good matches in the G1, fuck off. And people have. So I think I'm more frustrated with Goto because of how he basically held that Neville Championship ransom last year, and it's taken a whole year to get to relevance again.
He's the almost boy, isn't he? He's a gatekeeper almost now.
No, that's the thing. He's the Dolph Ziggler of New Japan, where like he used to have really good days. He used to be vastly over. Look at 2016, his match with Kenny Omega. Mwah. But he's not going to have a serious title run, is he? He's bland, like not in a Yoshihashi way. Like, at least there's jokes we made about Yoshihashi. The only real Goto joke to be made is really a Jay White joke. And you really want to say it, don't you?
No. I'm controlling myself. It's fine.
I heard you giggling. he's nothing. He's nothing to me. Like, Goto is... I'm trying to think of a musical equivalent. He's like Kings of Leon.
Solid, but unspectacular.
Yeah, you know, his hits are good. His hits are fine. But if you listen to their albums, you're going to get pretty fucking bored.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there were times in this match where I was leaning for my phone. And
I spent half this match.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest. I gave it 7.
I had the choice while watching this was... pay full attention. I'll talk to this really boring girl on Tinder who says I look like Danny Warsnop. And I picked the girl. Yep, she's really dull. I turned out to be a bit racist. That was fun.
Nice.
Not the worst. But you gave it a 7. I can't give it that because doing a 7 out of 10, I'm not normally reaching for my phone.
No,
I don't think it's a failing match. I don't think it's 4 or anything. Like, honestly, I think even giving it a 5 might be a bit harsh, but 5 is what I'm reaching for. Like, honestly, I'm going to give it a 6 because of the angles in this match, but that's about it.
Speaking of the angles, so Jay White at this point is laid out. Goto is going for the victory. The ref is distracted by Gedo. Kenta runs in, beats Goto. Now, at this point, Shibata, who was on commentary on the Japanese commentary desk, he gets up on to basically beat the shit out of Gedo. And Kenta beats the shit again out of Shibata. Now,
you see what I mean about Kenta being a better heel? Because I fucking hated him. And like, could lay a finger on Shibata nowadays and I fucking hate you.
Chris?
Yes?
Are we going to get this?
I'm scared if it does happen. I guess, like, as much as Kenta's stuff looks like it hurts, you're not taking a ton of bumps in a Kenta. You don't have to take a ton of bumps in a Kenta match. It's mostly kicks to the abdomen. So, like, I guess if Shibata was to have a match, this is a decent... But it's not like you're going against Ishii, who goes for the head. Like, Kenta very much works the body unless it's for GTS.
Yeah.
So, Like, I guess that can work, and like it can be a lot of striking. You don't need to take a ton of bumps. Honestly, because do we know the condition of Shibata?
No.
Like, we know he's at least in partial ring shape because he teaches in the dojo, well, the LA dojo.
We know nothing.
We do know nothing, Jon Snow.
It makes it so tantalizing.
That's the thing. I can't help, when you mention it, get caught up in what Shibata was. Because Shibata, oh my god.
It's like, fucking terrifying.
We need to get some Shibata matches in the Classic.
We do.
Because he's just... He can't work well with everyone. He had a bit of a myth match with Kenny Omega, but like... Oh my god. Like, my match with Okada before I knew what happened.
Sakura Genesis 2017.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a reason. There's a big reason why people, like grown men, were in tears when he came back. Because he's fucking beloved, and he's amazing, and he's one of those people who never got his fair shake, partly because he left the company, but you would sort of get the feeling with his match with Okada that he was going to have a run afterwards. You know, like, have a match like that, and you can't not. But I want... You know what it's like? If he is honest to God ready, and he is honest to God, like, no risk... Well, I was about to say no risk whatsoever, but this is wrestling. If there's as limited a risk as there can possibly be, then I'm really hyped for this. You know what it's like? You know when Daniel Bryan came back?
Yeah.
And every time he took a bump, you were like, ah. Like, you couldn't quite get comfortable before Daniel Bryan taking a bump. But now that he's about a year and a half back into it, almost 2 years now back into his comeback, and you're just sort of like, yeah, cool. I don't know. If I know he's fine, I'll be hype. But like, until then, if this does happen, I'm scared for him. But then again, he's done his dropkick. So like, that's a partial bump. But like, every move that's happened to him, he hasn't taken a bump, so we don't actually know if he can.
I mean, he went into the guardrail, didn't he?
He did, but like, you can brace yourself for that.
Yeah.
Like, I could throw myself against the wall and not fully hurt me. Well, maybe not me. But
I would love to see you try that. Anyway, I would love to see this. Again, and we've said this before in this podcast, New Japan don't do things for no reason. If there wasn't a chance of Shibata wrestling, they wouldn't be doing this.
You say that. There isn't out. Shibata could bring someone else in.
Maybe, but you do this angle, Shibata brings someone fucking amazing in.
Well, that's the thing, because Shibata has Noah Tai, so bring in Marufuji.
Imagine Shibata standing on the entrance ramp, Kenta waiting, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Just
imagine for a second. It's not going to happen, obviously, but just imagine.
Like, I'm getting an erection so far that you could probably stroke it from Stoke. But
I am doing. It'd just be amazing, though, wouldn't it?
I don't know why you dangle that in front of me, Rob, because you know what my feelings on Nakamura, and you knew that the other night I spent most of it drinking and watching those Shinsuke Nakamura matches, getting really sad about the current state of Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know why the fuck you do this to me, Rob, because I'm really sad now.
Anyway, Jay White finishes off Goto with the Blade Runner, retains, and then gets onto the mic. And what we have, or what is led
no,
to...
No, Goto!
No, Goto!
No, 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 Goto!
What it leads to is...
I'll let you have your laugh. So, Goto... Not Goto, fuck. White starts talking, and then the champions come out. So, like, first... Naito, I think, came out, and then it was Bushi, and then it was Okada. No, Okada! But, then all hell broke loose, basically. And I remember, I like how Chris Charlton explained it. Well, Cardin doesn't want this to happen because why would he want the silver medal when he has gold?
That is true. However,
that thing where Okada turned to Naito and went, I remember there was a vote a few years ago.
Oh, and there was such an oh moment. It was brilliant. It looked well. It has officially been announced that we have got a rush for the gold. Now, what that means is we are getting that two-day tournament. Now, on the 4th of January, what that means is that there will be an IWGP Intercontinental Championship match between Jay White and Tetsuya Naito, and there will be an IWGP Heavyweight Championship match between Okada and Ibushi. That's on night one. On night two, then, the two winners of that championship, or the two winners of the Heavyweight and the Intercontinental Championship, will then face... On night two, the 5th of January, night five, to basically become the first ever double champion. Oh my God, this could be good.
Yeah, his thing. I can only think of one satisfying way to book it, though.
Naito wins.
Naito wins and beats Okada. That's the only satisfying way to do it.
Surely that's why they've done it. Surely.
Yeah, but also... To be fair, that's probably the match I'd be most excited for because I'd never want to see Naito and Ibushi touch again after Dominion.
Yeah, we've seen that match quite a lot.
It's not just that. They built a feud around it escalating, and they've escalated to the point where Ibushi almost got decapitated. So
yeah, there was that.
And then Watcoacher did a massive stink piece from using someone who barely watches New Japan. Fuck off. There's less... horrific injuries in New Japan than there is in fucking WWE, so.
You think Naito's winning this, then?
No, it's the only... I'm saying it's the only satisfying way to do it. New Japan booking tends to be satisfying, not necessarily in the moment, but in a very roundabout way. But then again, we've already had the cock tease with Naito 2 years ago.
So what you're saying is, because the losers will also face off in a singles match... on the 5th of January, which I think is a bit of a, you know, bronze medal sort of thing. So you're saying Jay White is going to be in that match because Naito's going to beat him for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
No, Okada has to win as well. Like, as much as I want Ibushi to be champion, because Ibushi is probably my favourite, Okada, like, the way the story's been built, Naito has to beat Okada for the belt.
Yeah, because of Wrestle Kingdom 12 and everyone thinking that and believing that Naito was going to win it and it being Naito's time, there is not a single person, I don't care what you watch or who, you know, what you enjoy in your wrestling, there is not a single man who is more over than Naito at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
No, exactly. When you consider that's a card that had Omega and Jericho on it, when Omega was actually bringing people to New Japan, and that, okay, it's sort of like, you know, it's like David Starr and Walter, where Okada is sort of this obstacle for Naito, and Naito spent the last sort of 2 years finding himself with mediocre feud with Suzuki, and I don't know, like, I kind of, because Naito is the one who's been throwing this idea about. Naito has somehow got himself back into this. He's, in terms of, like, deserving to be there in kayfabe, he's the dark horse. Because he's lost to every single person in this match in the last year.
Apart from a card.
Okay, fair enough. I forgot he has another match with a card this year. Sorry. But, like, he's lost to everyone in this in the recent future, and he's beaten White? No, he hasn't. He hasn't beaten White.
No, White's beaten him awesome. Twice.
And he, I guess he won his feud with Ibushi, but Ibushi still beat him.
It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. And I say it's the only satisfying way to do it. Again, New Japan booking tends to be satisfying in a roundabout way, more than in the moment. Like, which I do appreciate, but also... Kenny Omega won the title right when it felt like he should.
Yes. Now, right. Okay, no, I'm going to leave it there because until we get a few more details and a few more undercard tags, especially World Tag League Final and the Road to the Dome, we'll look a bit more at it. But At the moment, because there have been a few more matches announced, the card at the moment, for the 4th of January, you have got the Jushin Thunder Liger retirement match 1, the tag match with the Legends. You have got the aforementioned Rush for the Gold, should we call it, matches 1 and 2, which is the Intercontinental Championship match and the Heavyweight Championship match. You've also got the Junior Heavyweight Championship match with Ospreay and Takahashi. On the 5th, you have got the finals of those matches. So you've got the double championship match and you've got the losers match. And then you've got the Tanahashi Jericho match that has been made official for January the 5th. And then you have got the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match. It will just be a straight up tag match between ELP and Ishimori and Roppongi 3K.
That alone would be a really good Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes, it would. I mean, I have no idea how this tag league's going to go or who's going to win it.
I will take one NAF tag match if it means that fucking card, because Jesus Christ, what a card. Like, especially with like Naito and Jay White. Like, Jay White near the end of the G1 was such a surprise in how much his match quality improved. Like, that his two matches with Naito have been 9s.
Yes. And
then this match with Ibushi was like a definite, like, it's weird, it's a definite 10, but also not a match of the year contender. It's so weird how good wrestling has been this year.
No, I know what you mean. We do have two shows coming up this weekend, one on Saturday and one on Monday. The New Japan Showdown shows from San Jose, Los Angeles. So what we'll do is we'll just read you through these cards. Only one of them will be on New Japan World, and this is the one on Saturday the 9th. The one on the 11th, which is Monday, New Japan have actively encouraged people to film 30-second GIFs and or little videos and put them all over social media so people can see it. So that, to me, tells me it's never going on World either. But if you look at the card, it's not really anything you're going to miss. So the first one, this is tomorrow, this will be on World with Kevin Kelly providing English commentary. This is in San Jose, the San Jose Civic Center.
Okay.
In the first match, you've got Ren Narita versus Alex Coughlin, or Coughlin. I don't know how he pronounced it, but there you go. Second match, you have got Aaron Solo and Jushin Thunder Liger taking on Colt Cabana and Tori Yano. Third match, you have got Clark Connors and Carl Fredericks taking on El Desperado and Suzuki. Fourth match, you've got TJP, Juice Robinson, Tomohiro Ishii taking on Bushi, Sanada, and Evil. You've got a six-man tag then. Fifth match with Rocky Romero, Yo, and Hiroki Goto taking on Jado, Taiji Ishimori, and Kenta. Sixth match, you've got a British Cruiserweight Championship match with El Fantasmo taking on Sho.
That'd be good.
That would be
that.
A very good match. United States Heavyweight Championship match with Lance Archer in his first defense against David Finlay.
Honestly, if that goes like what was King of Pro Wrestling and a bit of American bollocks match, probably fun.
Yeah, definitely. Then you've got a tag team match with Shingo and Naito taking on Chase Owens and Jay White. And finally, the main event is the team of Okada and Ospreay taking on Ibushi and Amazing Red.
Oofed.
That is oof. A very tasty main event.
Very nice. Very nice.
Now,
Goto.
If you would like to, if you'd like me to tell you the card for the Globe Theater in Los Angeles, which is the 11th.
That's not going on well, because the Globe Theater is such a fucking pretty building. PWG's choose that. It's great.
Well, you've got the first match is TJP Amazing Red taking on Aaron Solo and Alex Zane.
Less tasty, but still kind of tasty.
Cabana and Yano taking on Alex Coughlin and Carl Fredericks. Yeah. Clark Connors, David Finlay, and Juice Robinson taking on the team of Desperado, Lance Archer, and Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
Rocky Romero and Tomohiro Ishii taking on Sanada and Evil. That could be tasty.
That could be quite tasty. Rocky's taking.
A singles match with Kota Ibushi and Ren Narita.
That fucking random.
Six-man tag team action between Sho and Yo, Hiroki Goto taking on the Bullet Club team of Phantasmo, Ishimori, and Kenta. A six-man tag is your main event in the seventh match with Bushi, Shingo, and Naito taking on Gedo, Chase Owens, and Jay White.
Gedo's in the fucking main event?
Yeah, there is no Okada, no Tanahashi, and you've got Jay White and Naito in the main event.
Oh, that's... I feel sorry for anyone going to that one. Well, not sorry. It's still gonna, probably going to be a fun night of live wrestling, but like... Yeah.
But yeah, those are the cards, Chris. Opinion?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
The first night especially has some really tasty matches. But for one of the night on the first night would be make for a decent new beginning.
My big question to you, Chris, is with the World Tag League starting in 8 days as we record,
people are going to be burnt out.
Do we need these shows?
We don't need these shows, definitely not. No. And it kind of shows in the sort of thrown together nature of them. And no, they're definitely not necessary. But also, Tag League isn't overall necessary. So
that is true.
We are in the doldrums of New Japan. Post-power struggle.
Right. As it stands now, 8th of November, who is your World Tag League pick?
Colt Cabana and Toriyana.
You're an idiot. Who is your World Tag League pick?
It's not as bad as when I picked the Manhattan Mauler.
Yeah, true.
Finjuice, fuck it.
I think it is probably going to be Finjuice. But for the sake of choosing someone different, I'm going to go Ishii and Yoshihashi. I think there's a nice storyline there.
It's nice enough, I fucking guess.
And on that negative note, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be joining you again next week at your usual time, and we'll be going through the events very, 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 very briefly of the Super Showdown, the New Japan Showdown show on World, and then we'll be going through some more classic matches for you. In the meantime, you can check out the website www.podmania.co.uk. You can check out our pay-per-view pick'ems. You can check out our match rating archive, including Power Struggle 2019. You can check us out on Twitter at Podmania and on Facebook at the same address. You can also subscribe to us on any podcast platform whatsoever. On a Monday at 7 p.m. GMT, we will be giving you a new episode every week of our WWE 2K19 and 2K20 universe mode. On a Wednesday at 10 p.m. GMT will be the Young Lion Cast, and on a Saturday at 2 p.m. GMT it will be the Podmania podcast. You can talk to me on Twitter at @RealRobGoodwin. Chris, where can they find you?
At CandyChris97 for now, but I am trying to change my Twitter name to a variation of No Goto.
No Goto! Anyway, thank you so much for listening, guys.
No Goto! But... No! Someone's taking No Goto!
Thank you so much for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.